Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we're continuing our study of spiritual gifts. We're taking each of the gifts listed in there in four different places, at least 18 spiritual gifts. If you didn't get the handout, just get it when we're through, because this is the handout we've been giving out for these weeks. It lists the extent of gifts, the classes of gifts, the duration of gifts, and then it lists all 18 gifts, both temporary and signed gifts, the permanent gifts, foundational gifts, list them all, and we've been going through them one at a time, and so we're almost to the end. As you remember, we started a long time ago. We started actually on Wednesday night looking at 1 Corinthians, and then when we changed CBI to Wednesday night, we switched 1 Corinthians over to Sunday night, and we've been going through it verse by verse, passage by passage. When we've now come to chapters 12, 13, and 14, we stopped for a little bit going verse by verse and said, what we're going to do is just look at spiritual gifts. And we did a lot of background on spiritual gifts, and then we've been taking each one of the gifts and going through those one at a time. I think it's important that we realize what the gifts are and how we can minister within the body of Christ. Each believer is to exercise his or her gifts used by God to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Our goal, of course, is threefold as we think about it: to know the gifts, what they are and how they function, then to know our own gifts. That would be great to do that, and then use the gifts within the body. So the idea is, let's look at all the spiritual gifts, let's see what they are, then let's know what our gifts are, and we can discover that in a number of ways, and then use our gifts within the body, because that is a goal. This evening, as we continue, there are three more of what we call the permanent gifts we're going to look at, and they are giving. Wasn't that amazing? We talk about giving only when giving's in the passage. And so this morning it was giving, and tonight it's giving, administration, and mercy. So we're going to talk about giving again. We may even pass offering plate. Who knows for tonight? But anyway, we're just going to look at some of these things. Giving, administration, and the gift of mercy. Those three gifts. And we want to continue to understand how these things fit together, understand the gifts, and then use our gifts. So there's a lot here. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank you for the songs that we have got to sing and to lift up our voices in praise and adoration to you. Thank you for the Bible. It is so perfect. And Lord, as we think about spiritual gifts, and even whatever gifts we look at tonight, the idea, Lord, is for us to know what our gifts are and that we could use those gifts as we equip one another to do the work of the ministry and the building up of the body of Christ, and that we could grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, we would love to see all of the believers connected in a local body, serving, using their gifts. We know they would be excited, it would be very beneficial, it would be very effective. And Lord, that's what we wish. And so, Lord, we just pray for each one in this room that they would know what their gifts are and then serve within the body. Thank you, Lord, for them. Lord, we ask you tonight that as we continue our study, that you would teach us, that we would see these different gifts, and that we would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, what comes to mind when you hear the name Mother Teresa? Of course, you know, she's passed away, but we think of this woman who gave her life reaching out with compassion to helpless people in Calcutta. You realize that this woman is less than 5 feet tall and weighed less than 100 pounds, and yet she had one of the huge ministry, and she was famous throughout the world. She looms big in the area of compassion and mercy. What does it mean to have mercy and compassion on others? I think one of the best illustrations, of course, in the Bible is the story of the Good Samaritan. Here's a man who stopped. He saw this man who had been attacked and just left there. And two religious people came by, basically, and they actually went by him. So they said, no, we can't deal with this man. And here was a Samaritan who was mostly despised by Jewish people, half Jew, half Gentile background. And he stops, helps this man, takes him into a place, pays his way, and tells the innkeeper, just take care of this man, whatever you owe, whatever, if it's more than what I've already given you, when I come back, I'll even give you more. How do you help when you see someone who's is in trouble? When they need help beyond the ordinary? Do you feel compassion or do you feel pity? Now, there's a difference between the two. We're going to see that difference in just a little bit, because a lot of people go, oh, that's so sad. That's pity. Compassion's a little bit different. And as we study, we're going to talk about the gift of mercy, which kind of ties together mercy and compassion. So continuing our study of spiritual gifts, we want to learn about the gifts, and then we want to know our gifts, and then realize how important it is that we use the gifts within the body. Our study of gifts gives us this opportunity to be able to put all this together and to realize how ministry to be done. You know, our famous verse, when I came to Countryside, one of the famous verses that we talked about as a church was Ephesians 4:12. And there's three aspects. He says he gave some as spiritual gifts to do what? To equip the believers to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And that's the key. All of us are gifted people. In the sense you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have spiritual gifts, you have at least one gift, you may have more than one gift, so we are gifted people. We're to use our gifts to equip each other to do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ can be built up, and that's the key. So as we study spiritual gifts, we want to see how this is done, we want to see how they're used, and every believer is to use his or her gift within the body for the common good. Now, when you think about the ministry of the local body, how does ministry get done? Well, it happens as each one of us in the local body uses our gifts, our talents, our resources given to us by God as we minister to each other in the body and we minister to those outside the body. 1 Corinthians 12 says that there's one body with many members, all with different abilities and responsibilities, all working together for the glory of God in the service of ministry. So, what are your gifts? So think for just a second. Just stop and think, okay, if I had to stand up right now and tell these group of people, what do you think your spiritual gift or gifts are? Some of you know, and you'd stand up and say, well, I think I have the gift of teaching. I have the gift of helps. I have the gift of mercy. I have the gift of administration. You could stand up and do that. Some of you might say, you know, I've really never even thought about it. I mean, I've done different things in churches, but I'm not sure I know what my gift or gifts are. So we'd say, what are your gifts? And are you being used within the body? Because that's a key. That is a key. May we serve within the body of Christ. Well, this evening, three more of those gifts, the gift of giving, the gift of administration, and the gift of mercy. And as we look at this, you remember the handout, the 18 different gifts. We talked about how we divided the gifts. Let me remind you, we divided the gifts in two big sections. Temporary gifts, gifts that were given at the beginning of the church that were basically to be the foundation of the church and the sign gifts that all authenticated the message and the messengers. And then there are permanent gifts, gifts that are given that go throughout the church. And we've already seen through all those other gifts. Now we've been going over the permanent gifts, and we've looked at a few of them already. I think the first one, we saw the gift of evangelism, or the evangelist. That's the gift of sharing their faith, desire to see other people come to know Christ. They present the gospel clearly. They're effective. They love to share their faith. For most people, we go, do you want to share your faith? And we go, I'd like to. And we're scared of that. The gift of evangelism, that person is going, yeah, let me talk to them. Let me talk to them. Get out of the way. You know, they love it. The second gift we talked about was pastor-teacher. I think I have the gift of pastor-teacher. That's basically, it's to shepherd the flock, do the public teaching. It's an elder with the gift within the body. And I love to do that. The third one was the gift of helps. And that is, and we said that's the desire to help others. And this can serve, this spiritual gift can serve in any ministry. It's incredible. We talked about this when we went over it, that some people think the gift of helps is like the consolation prize. Well, if I can't do anything else, I guess I can help. It's one of the most important gifts, or they're all equal in that sense, but it is so vital because it can be used in any place. The gift of helps can be used in any area, and most of the time it's behind the scenes. The fourth one was always gift of teacher. That was a person who has the ability to clearly communicate the truth of the Word of God. They desire to study. They desire to teach others. They put it together. They make it clear. We know people who have the gift of teaching. We love to be around people who teach. If you're having to sit under something, you sure want the person to have the gift of teaching, because if they don't, you're sitting there going, oh boy, what did that person say? I'm not following them. I don't know what they're saying. People with the gift of teaching, you're going, yeah, that makes sense. It's the first time it's made sense. So there are a lot of people in our church, I think, that have the gift of teaching. Whether you have the gift of teaching or not, you have the responsibility to communicate truth to others. And so we need you. We need you to know what you believe and be ready to give an answer to others for the hope that is within you. The fifth one, the one we talked about last time, of course, was exhortation. That's encouragement. That's one who's able to come alongside. The Greek word parakaleo means to come alongside, called alongside to help. This is a person that builds up and helps and pushes and helps us and also points out error. That's the one thing about this that a lot of people don't think about. The gift of exhortation is the person that says, you can do it, you can do it. It's also the same person that says, you're wrong. You don't need to do that. That's wrong. I'll help you. You know, they're not afraid to confront. Most people don't like to confront. The person with the gift of exhortation doesn't mind confrontation at all. And so those are the different gifts. We know that Barnabas was the son of encouragement. He encouraged Paul and John Mark. And so there's so much. Well, this evening, we're going to look at a gift that most people would say they don't have. Or they would say, I don't think I have it. I hope I don't get it. you know, because we don't know. It's the gift, and this number says gift of giving. Very few people talk about the gift of giving, but a lot of people in the culture today want to talk about spectacular gifts, but not many people want to say they have the gift of giving. What exactly is the gift of giving? It's the capacity to give substance for God's work or people. It's those people who just who want to give. They give their money, they give possessions, they give material. They just want to. This is the kind of people that you don't have to beg to give anything. They find out needs. They hear of things. They want to give. And most of the time, these people don't even want people to know that they gave it. They don't necessarily want their name on something. They may say, I want to give that. Don't tell anybody. I just want to get this in there. I know that person needs to go on that trip. Give them this money so they can go. You want me to tell them? No, don't tell them. Don't tell them I gave it. Don't tell them. That's the gift of giving. They just love to do it. Some people say, oh, I give of my time. Well, that's the gift of helps. Okay? The gift of, when people say, oh, I have the gift of giving, I give of my time. That's the gift of helps. That's not the gift of giving. The gift of giving deals with possessions, materially, money, those kind of things. This person gives consistently, liberally, and sacrificially. Consistently. They love to give. In the same way that I love to teach, they love to give. In the same way that some of you out there love to help, they love to give. Think about the same, when you'd say, oh, I'd like to do that, they're saying, I'd like to give toward that. I'd like to help toward that. I'd like to make sure that happens. They follow the pattern that we talked about in 2 Corinthians 9 this morning. Give as a purpose in their heart, not grudgingly necessarily. God loves a cheerful giver. They don't have to be begged to give. They usually see a need. They have the desire to meet that need. They want to do that. Sometimes people are wealthy that have the gift of giving. Sometimes they're not. A man by the name of B.F. Jarman Shoes, back 40, 50 years ago, he was given $1 million a year to missions. That's a lot of money, 30 and 40 years ago when the Jarman Shoe Company. In fact, he decided that he would, as his company grew, he would just take about the same amount of money he was getting, and just as more money came in, he would just give more money away. He was an incredible man. It's not always the people who are wealthy, because that's what we think about, but there are a lot of people that have the gift of giving that may not have that much materially, but they're ready to give it. They're ready to make sure that it's used, that it helps people. And, you know, there are many needs. And you know what's so amazing about the people with the gift of giving? Some reason they find out what those needs are. They just know what's happening. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, there was a woman by the name of Dorcas. And she was giving all the time. She was a poor woman. In fact, when she died, everybody was so upset. And they called Peter to come up there and see what he could do. And he got there. And all these women came up and said, she made me this. She made me this. She gave me this. She did this. She was always giving. He raised her from the dead. But so you don't have to be wealthy to be a giver. Both the churches of Philippi and the churches at Corinth gave out of their poverty. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5 talks about it. They gave and they gave to needs. Truth, all believers are to give. We talked about it this morning. I think it's just amazing that we don't talk about giving except when we come to the passages. And we came to it this morning and now we come to it tonight in our study. But all believers are to give. You may or may not have the gift of giving. If you have the gift of giving, you absolutely love it. If you don't, you say, well, I still have the privilege and responsibility to give. Now, let me just do this because I had planned this message a long time ago, but I want to remind you that some of the things that I want to go over right now are some things that we talked about this morning. Let me give this to you. When we think about giving, there are two things. There are types of giving and how to give. I think it's powerful to review this. Let's think about types of giving. The next, there are two types of giving. There's required giving and free will giving. I talked about it this morning. Free will giving is an offering and it's an act of worship. Required giving was called tithes and it was not an act of worship. So I want you to remember that. Now, let me show you there are three divisions, and I mentioned this morning, from Adam and Eve to Moses, the offerings were all free, they were all free will offerings. Just look at it. Go back and you'll find that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Cain and Abel, even Cain brought the wrong thing, but it was an offering to God. And so that group from Adam and Eve, basically to Moses, free will offerings, acts of worship, they were bringing their sacrifices and offerings to God. Second, from Moses to Christ, both free will offerings and required giving. You remember that after what Moses brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, they got the Mosaic Law, they set aside the sacrificial system, they took the tribe of Levi, and they had the priests and the Levites, and they served at the tabernacle. They did not have land. They had 48 cities they lived in, but they did not have land. They didn't have a way, in a sense, to make a living. So what did God do? He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell the nation of Israel, I'm going to put them under a tithe system, giving them three tithes. Every year they gave 10% of what they had to the priest. Every year they gave 10% what they had to the tabernacle to keep it going. And every third year they gave 10% to widows, orphans, and priests. So every year they gave 20%. Every third year they gave 30%. Now, that was the required giving. It was not acts of worship. It was required to support the priest and the tabernacle and later the temple. They still, at that time, gave their free will offerings. So under the Mosaic Law, there were tithes and offerings. That's why in Malachi it says to the nation of Israel, bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse of the temple. It amazes me to watch people teach churches that you're to bring tithes and offerings and you're to bring it to the storehouse of the temple when they know that the temple was destroyed in AD 70. They're wanting to say that the church is the temple. The church is not the temple. Where is the temple? Where's the temple of God today? You are the temple of God. What do you not know? Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. So when people start teaching you you're under a tithe system, ask them which tithe and how much per year and where do you bring it? Because if you're going to be biblical, it's 20% every year, 30% every 3 years, and you bring it to the storehouse of the temple, there is no temple. So you're not under that system. That system was from Moses to Christ, free will offerings, and the tithe. The free will offerings were acts of worship. The tithes were required giving. And then, the third part, from Christ to now, after Jesus died on the cross, he's the final sacrifice for sin forever. There's no longer a sacrificial system. We're not under the Mosaic Law. We have never been under the Mosaic Law. We go back to giving in the same way before the law system was given to Israel, which were offerings, which are free will. That's why we give as we purpose in our heart, not grudging necessity. God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful or a hilarious giver. So that's what we do. That's how we give. And so it's so powerful. And that's why you think about Sunday morning. We don't say it's time for our tithes and offerings. We say it's time for the offering. It's your act of worship. And so question, the next question comes up is how do we give? We talked about it this morning, regularly and planned. That in 1 Corinthians 16, they said, give as you gather together on the first day of the week, set aside. So give. It ought to be planned. It ought to be as you purpose in your heart. It is not something that's at the spur of the moment that you go, oh, I don't know what to give. Let's see, what do I have in my pocket? No, what God has given you, take what God's given you and give in a portion of it. We ought to give as an act of love. Our love for God and love for others, we give as an act of worship. You're responding to God in the same way that when you sing these songs, Stephen leads us in these psalms and we're singing these songs, that's acts of worship. And when you pray, it's an act of worship. And when you say, I'm going to study the Bible and I'm going to make application, that's an act of worship. Well, giving is an act of worship. And then finally, trust. You have to trust God. And we talked about it this morning. It really is trust. You have money. Let's say you had $1,000. I said 100 this morning. Let's say you got 1,000 and you're going to give away 200 of it. You got to live off 800 like you would have lived 1,000. You say, am I going to be able to do that? Sure you are. You have to trust God. It's an act of trust. And he will take care of you and provide beyond what you could ask or imagine. This morning we talked about when you give, you'll be blessed. That is not your motive. Just remember this. The TV shows, they make that your motive. They say, if you give to our ministry, they're on the TV, they say, give to our ministry so God will bless you. They're making the motive for your giving blessing. The motive for your giving is love, worship, and trust. The principle that is true is that when you give, you will be blessed. It's not your motive, it's the results. And God always does that. All believers, now listen, all believers are to give, but not all have the gift of giving. If you have the gift of giving, come see me. I would like to talk with you. No, I'm just kidding. But that's true. You know what you do. The people with gift of giving, one thing for sure, I want you to understand this. I don't know what anybody gives in this church. I don't ever see it. I don't know it. I don't want to ever know it. But I know there's people tell me things. There are people in our church who are just, they're just great givers in the sense of that they love the Lord and they give. And there's so many of you. And the goal for all of us is, like we talked this morning, everything we have comes from God. We're accountable. We're going to give an account to Him. We're stewards, wise stewards. We're to give as an act of love, worship, and trust. He will always take care of us and bless us. And we're to use what we have for God's glory. Well, as Prof. Hendricks would say, when you study something like this and it begins to get convicting, he always says, well, let's just move on because this is too convicting, and he does. That takes us to the next gift, and that is the gift of leadership or administration. Romans 12:8 talks about it. It is the ability. In fact, if you want to say it is the ability to organize and administrate. It's this ability, that a spiritual gift that some people, they just can come in and they can go, okay, let's get this set up over here, and okay, we need three people to do this. Okay, get this, make those two phones. We need to call those people and get that set up, and they can just do it. And you watch them and you go, wow, how do they do that? And William McRae, in a book, he got a book called The Dynamics of Spiritual Gifts. He defines the gift of administration or leadership in this way. Here's what he says. He says it is the God-given capacity to, it's a long one, so you don't write this down. He says it's the God-given capacity to organize and administer with such efficiency and spirituality that the project is not only brought to a satisfactory conclusion, but it is done harmoniously and with evident blessing. He says, that's the kind of person that can get things together and it can work, and you look at it and before it's over everybody's going, well, this was great, how do we do that? Any one of you could have the gift of administration. Did you know in the early days of the church, back, I'd say about 1988, 89, you know, you got to remember, we didn't even have staff members until another staff member until like 95, 96. So in a bunch of years in there, we had started having a college retreat because God started giving us college students, and we just thought it was a good idea to have a college retreat. Well, I was the only one here. And you know, as I was, I've always taught about 8 to 10 to 12 times a week. Well, when it came time for a college retreat, for about 3 years in a row, listen, are you ready for this? There was a college girl in our church who obviously had the gift of administration and leadership, because for 3 years in a row, she planned the whole college retreat for me. She just did it. She got it organized. She got the list of names. I would say, here's some of the stuff. We had some things already ready. She would look at it and she'd say, okay, I'm going to get two people to go get the food. I'll get this. She handled it. I ended up showing up and teaching, and I'd say, where's the money? Did you collect? Yeah, I got it in the car. You know, she had it all. She knew everything she was doing, you know. So she was so incredible. There are many of you in this room, and you have the gift of administration or leadership. You coordinate events, projects, and procedures. Romans 12, verse 8, it says, it leads. If you lead, you stand. 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about even the word for governments. It says, 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about governments, and that was the word to pilot a ship. It was the person who could steer the ship. And the idea there is you have the ability to steer it, to make it happen. This person is able to organize and direct toward a specific goal, and things are done in order and gives glory to God. So you may think, you know, that's me. That's me. I'm hoping that as we're going through these gifts that you're saying, I think that's me. I think that's me on health. I think that's me on giving. I think that's me on administration. I think that's me on teaching. That you're sitting there going, I think that's me. That's me. That's my thing. I want to do that. Titus 1:5 says that Paul sent Titus to set things in order. Nehemiah, what a man, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You know what he did? He had that desire to go do it, and he went back there, and he got there, and for 3 days, it didn't tell us what he did. He was just there for 3 days. And then one night he got together a few people, not telling anybody else, went out to the walls, rode all the way as far as they could ride around the walls of Jerusalem, and he planned this thing. And he came back and he said, okay, let me have your attention. We're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And this is how we're going to do it. And he began to put it together. And he even said to them, now listen, you live over here. You're going to build the wall closest to your house. He knew if you did that, they'd build it good because it's closest to their house. He was so organized and smart. And sometimes if you want to study leadership, study the book of Nehemiah. It's pretty incredible. On our church, we even have a ministry team called administration because it deals with office and budgets and treasures and all kind of people involved. They're heads of ministry teams in our church. We have, I think, 14 different ministry teams, and they're heads of those teams that oversee them. We have men's retreat, college retreat, women's retreat. We have all those things going. We have all these events, and there are people who just step forward, and they say, oh, I'd like to organize that. I'd like to plan that. So one of the things you have to remember, though, when people have the gift of leadership or administration, sometimes when people get in those positions and they begin to lead, they begin to think, maybe I am an exception to the rules. And now, leaders, those who are in leadership, are examples to the rules, not exceptions to the rules. They got to remember that, because that happens sometimes when people get in places of authority or leadership. They're telling people what to do. Sometimes they think, it doesn't apply to me. Everything applies to us. Look at your life. Do you have a desire to put things together, to organize, to oversee, to plan, to bring to completion? You may have that gift, and so we need you. So think about it. We got one more, and that's the one we started with, the idea of mercy. It shows undeserved aid or compassion. That's what mercy really is. Think about the contrast between pity and compassion, because pity sees something and says, how awful, where compassion says, I will help. Pity says, they're from a distance, where compassion rolls up the sleeves and pitches in. Pity says, I'll help if it's convenient. Compassion says, I'll help anytime. A lot of people have pity. Not a lot of people have compassion. The Word of God said that Jesus had compassion, mercy, on the multitudes. What do we have? The word compassion or mercy that goes together comes from a root word which means to suffer together. It's like you suffer with it. You see that and that hurt you. You say, I feel the pain. I feel what they feel. I want to help them. Because see, it's different than saying, oh, that's so sad. Isn't that sad over there? That's sad. That's pity. The compassion, the mercy says, that is so sad. I got to help them. Somebody's got to do something. It's going to have to be me. Sometimes mercy is directed to those who are rejected and helpless. I read this. This has been a long time ago, so I've quoted it before. But I read about this news person that was going, and he went into a leper colony, and he was doing a study on, you know, kind of a documentary on people who helped in leper colonies. And they went into, there was this Christian woman, and she was in there. And as he came in to film it, he saw her, and she was binding these wounds. And, I mean, stuff was just falling off. And he looked at it and he went, ugh. He said, well, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And the lady looked up at him and said, I wouldn't do it either for $1 million, but I'd do it for Jesus Christ. And I mean, that's what these people are. They just do it. And their hearts reach out. You may be saying, that's me. I look at people and I say, doggone, that I want to be there for them. I want to help them. They did a project at seminary, not at Dallas Seminary, but they did it at a school to see what would happen. They had it planned where guys would park their cars, and then they were going to go into a building, and they were supposed to go in the building and do one of their sermons for one of their classes. And so they planned it. They had somebody hidden with a camera, and they had this guy pretending to be sort of like a bum, and he, close to the sidewalk where they'd have to walk, he was laying there. And they said half of the seminary guys just walked right past him, and just walked right on in. Because in their minds, they said, I can't help this guy right now. I got to go do my sermon thing. Some did stop, and they helped. What would you do? I got to tell you this. This is weird, but this happened to me. When I went to Dallas Seminary, I'm by myself, and I've got this job working for a State Farm agent, and I'm in a right sort of downtown Dallas where this part is, and I would go to seminary in the morning, and about 1:30 I'd get out of class. I'd go from class from 7:30 to 1:30, and I'd go work for this guy from 1:30 to about 7 at night, then I'd go home and study. My desk looked right outside, and it was in a pretty tough little section of town. It had a lot of walk-in business, And there was this man, I mean, I don't know how to tell you all this, but there was this man that you could see him walking up and down the street. And the lady that worked with me, she had been working there for years. And I said, who is that man? And she said, oh, he's one of those guys, you know, one of those kind. I think they thought he lived in an abandoned apartment complex. So one day, I'm just in there doing stuff for State Farm, and I look out, and I look down the road, and it's pretty far down the road. He's in the street, laying in the middle of the street. And I looked over at Radonna was her name, and I said, "What? That guy's straight laying in the street." And she said, "Well, I think he lays in the street a lot, you know. I don't know. So I went, I've got to tell you all this. I went running down there, you know. It's Dallas. It's summer. I got a coat and tie on. I'm running down there, you know. And I get down, and this guy's laying on the street. And I don't know what to do. So I say, are you okay? What's going on? And he went, I'm okay, you know. And so I kind of tried to pick him up. And this is embarrassing, but I kept picking him up. But his pants kept falling off. And I kept pulling his pants back up, but they kept falling off, and I mean, it was a mess. I mean, and I'm standing out there, and I mean, I'm sweating up a storm, and so I don't know what to do. So I bring him back, and I walk in, and I said, what do we do with this man? I said, where do you live? Oh, I need help. I need help. So I call the Department of Human Services. I don't even know who I call, and they come and they get him and they tell me thanks, but they picked him up many times, and so they took him off, and I'm sitting there, you know, I've had to go home. My clothes are just, oh, they're just wet, they're just messed up, and it's pretty tough. And I go home, and guess what? About 4 days later, there he is, walking right back again. And I thought, well, I guess if he falls down the street again, I'll go back out there again. Now, I don't think I have the gift of compassion or mercy, but I just knew that that's what we're supposed to do. But some of you, you have it. You just know it. You're just there for people. You are there. And compassion is this action. It's caring. It's caring enough to be involved. It's that gift of mercy. And I thank God if you have it. So may you continue to reach out with compassion to those who are in need. Well, this evening we've seen three more. We have seen the gift of giving, and that is the desire and ability to give consistently, liberally, sacrificially to the work of the Lord, to the people of God, people who just want to give. We've seen administration. That's administration and leadership. That's the ability and desire to organize, to oversee, to plan, to coordinate projects and plans that they're brought to completion for the glory of God. That's those people. And then we've seen the gift of mercy, which is great compassion for the helpless, the undeserving, aid that just reaches out, and they don't feel pity, they feel compassion and mercy, and it's beyond what most of us feel, and I'm just glad God gave people with those gifts. Well, let me give you some applications, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. But the first application is, let's give to the work of the Lord. We talked about it this morning. If you have the gift of giving, nobody has to tell you to give. You just can, you can hardly wait to do it. You're looking for opportunities. But the truth is, all of us are to give, and you're to take a portion of what God's given you. Remember what we said, when you get something, you save some, you give some, and you use wisely the rest. And so, be a giver. Learn the joy of giving. It is so fun. And whether you have the gift of giving or not, it still is fun. It is fun to give a portion of what God's given to you, and then you give it, and you see that it helps people, and it does things. Now, those people give to giving, oh, they're amazing. So may each of us give as God has blessed us. Give as an act of love, worship, and trust, and give to the work of the Lord. Second, those with the gift of administration, lead. Look for places that you can use your gifts, that you can direct ministries and serve as leaders. And there's so many things that we just need help. And there are some people, they are wearing out because they're doing more than they should be doing. It's because so many others aren't using their gifts. And if you've got the gift of administration or leadership, whatever it is, then jump in there and serve and support and love and help in ministries and do those things. And then last but not least, let's show compassion to others. Show that mercy. Reach out to those who are often helpless. Helpless. You know, a lot of the stuff's been coming out recently about, oh my gosh, my mind just went completely blank. The guy who stopped the slave trade in Great Britain. Who was that? Yeah, Wilberforce. Okay, it's all that's about that. But if you've listened to some radio programs or anything, you realize that there are more people in slavery today than there were then. Slavery's still in the world. And people in slavery right now, there's young girls and people in slave prostitution. There are other people in slavery. When you think of the whole abortion industry and the helpless babies. I mean, all of that's there. It's compassion. We need to be there to reach out, to be ready, to help people who are helpless. to help people who are helpless. May we give as an act of worship, love, and trust. May we lead the ministries, help the ministry teams, and may we show mercy and compassion. Let's pray, and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. And Lord, we know that there are people in our church that have the gift of giving. It is so amazing how you use them. We pray, Lord, for all of us that we'll experience the great joy of giving, that we'll give as an act of love, trust, and worship. We'll realize that we respond to you, that you have given us everything. And that as good stewards and wise stewards, we want to give for your honor and your glory. Lord, we thank you for those who have the gift of administration and leadership and how they love to help and direct and do all that. May they be raised up, Lord, and take over and do things. And then finally, Lord, this whole thing of mercy and compassion. Thank you, Lord, for those who do not just show pity or have pity. They have compassion and mercy. May they do it. Lord, may all of us have compassion and mercy to help people. And Lord, we just want our lives to count for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.